Blog Talk Radio.
This is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Here in New York, it's sunny and Cher. At least it is at my entertainment center. It's 70 degrees, rising in my house. Well, we're going to talk about Tucson. Is it Tucson or Tucson? Okay, yes, Tucson, but I don't know why it's spelled Tucson. You know, I always wondered about that. Tucson, Arizona. I traveled out there a few years down the road a piece, and I'll be comparing my trip with Lisa of Blog Talk Radio host, Southwest Blend. Then there's no business like shoe business. Steven Esposito, owner of WB Newfield in Woodhaven, will talk about how to buy a pair of shoes and why you can wind up paying more or pay less. And then we're going to have a noise reduction headphones. What are they all about? It's Able Planet versus Bose. And then lastly, Suzuki. We're going to talk about the Suzuki 4X7 Sport. I have somebody from Suzuki who's going to call in. So right now, we're going to start with Tucson, and I believe we got someone on the phone with us, don't we?
Hi. I'm here. This is Lisa. How are you, Merle?
Oh, just fine. Well, it's been a while since I was out there, so I'm actually tore a page out of the newspaper that I wrote the article in so I can, you know, so it would jog my memory. But when I had gone there, I had asked everybody, like, what's the place to see? You know, don't miss. Mm-hmm. And everybody agreed that the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum.
Oh, yes.
Was the place. And it's, they said, the combination of a zoo, a natural history museum, and a botanical garden all rolled into one. And they have, it's a long... It's like a half a day thing. Would you say that? If you really wanted to get it.
You know, we were there for only a few hours because we were on this whirlwind tour, a tour of the whole town or city. And basically, I think we could have stayed for the entire day because we like to just sit and hang out and watch the animals. And
yeah.
It's really cool. It's got a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. They had, I went to the mountain woodland. They had Mexican wolf, black bear, white-tailed deer, mountain lion, owls, snakes, prairie dog.
The prairie dogs are cute.
Oh, are
I love watching their little tails sticking up while they're making their little sounds. They were really and the hummingbird garden. The hummingbird garden is cool. Did you go in there?
I missed that. I forgot. Wait a minute. I did go. I don't think I'm not sure whether it was not open or something, because I remember there was an aviary.
You know, there's two. I think it looked like it could have been something new, but the hummingbird garden was really, really neat to be able to be right in there and, you know, watch them. And they just had a lot of variety of birds. And then that one aviary, there was all kinds of birds that were native to the area, which is really cool to see, too.
Oh, yeah.
Southern Arizona is like the birding capital.
And then I also, the javelina or javelinas.
The javelinas are cool.
Oh, God. I have to tell you, I was at a resort, and they had constantly javelinas around but they purposely, they would actually, I think it's, is it corn, I think, that they're into? I forgot, but they would purposely.
I know people's gardens.
they would throw out, you know, and I thought it was corn to feed them, and so they would come up to the resort and eat, you know. And so I was able to, like, you know, just, like, go outside, and since they're blind, they didn't see me, so they couldn't attack me. But
aww,
they probably, you know, where's the food? Where's the food? I can't see it. You know, help, help. Help me, I can't see it. Wait, I smell a human. Oh, wait a minute, it's me. No, that's me. Disgusting. But so that was, yeah, that I absolutely would, that's the first place, like, if you're going to deal with time, is
mm-hmm.
To make sure you can get that in. And then there was the, but there was a Tucson Botanical Gardens as well.
Mm, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that one. I was picking, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to say that. I think I was picking fruit from the trees.
Naughty. When we were there, there was oranges. The Botanical Gardens, what's really neat, I think, is that it's just like Tohonatchil Park. I don't know if you went there. They both are from, originally, they were built as a residence, and then they ended up being gardens.
Yeah.
So they were actually someone's house before, and the way they do the demonstration gardens, because I think so many people don't think that they can garden in the desert, but it's totally possible. And that's what, it was just really cool to see the demonstration gardens, and there was a butterfly exhibit going on while we were there.
Oh, yeah. I think I hit that at one point. Yeah, because that's right. There's the, Tohonatchil Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's another place. That's, that was great for bird watchers. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And they had the tea room there.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was, yeah, I mean, both places. I mean, if you really, it's like if you're really into the outdoors,
mm-hmm.
those two are really, you know, those three places are like, you know, are a must. Was there anything? What was that? Any of your favorite stuff of those three? Of the
Well, definitely the gardens had to be one or two, three. The Hacienda del Sol is the resort we stayed at, and they had the most amazing gardens, too. And, in fact, like Nancy and I, when we were there, we basically thought that this is a garden city because you had the mountains surrounding and then all the attractions. I mean, they just really kept their gardens up. And so I loved where we stayed. In fact, National Geographic has put them as one of the top inns in the country. And it was just really one of those southwestern places. So I thought that that was one of my favorites because they also had a wine bar with over 2,000 types of wine.
All grown in Arizona, huh?
All over the world.
Yeah.
All over the world. But we did actually, we drank wine from Russian River, California. But I think that the museum, the Arizona State Museum, and Flandrau Science Center were also a couple of our favorites that we went to. And the Grazia Gallery. Did you go to the gallery?
The Grazia Foundation, and they had the thing of the gallery in the sun. It's like outdoors
mm-hmm.
and an indoor thing.
And a mission.
Oh yeah, that was really nice. Very serene surroundings,
mm-hmm.
and that nestled in the Santa Catalina foothills.
Uh huh. By the way, I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
That the name of Tucson actually comes from the Indian word Chuksan, which means village of the dark spring at the foot of the mountains.
Oh, okay.
So there's your answer.
There's my answer as to why it's spelled one way.
Chuksan, Chuksan, Chuksan.
Oh, okay. That's a good reason.
Well, that's what they called it. And apparently the Presidio, did you go to the Presidio?
I'm looking on my, I don't think so. I'm looking on my list of where I went.
It was the downtown.
Yeah.
They had a turquoise trail that you had to follow. There was the turquoise trail where you follow this blue painted line through the historic downtown, and you can see all the historic buildings and museums and everything.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I did. I was walking around a bit, and then I popped into the Hotel Congress.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, it's been around since 1919.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was where the scene of John Dillinger's shootout.
That isn't that a close from the convention
shoot and capture. Yeah, that's what that was about. Yeah, I did walk a bit. Now, you know, you're really jogging my memory a bit.
Hey,
now
you know what's really cool downtown? is the restaurant called El Charro, and it is one of the it is the oldest family run Mexican restaurant. And this woman started way, way back, and she actually invented chimichangas. Have you had a chimichanga before?
Yeah.
What happened was she was making burritos, and she dropped the burrito in the fryer, and she said some really bad word in Spanish that you're not allowed to say, which I'm dying to say, just because it's such a good word, and that's how I learned it.
Well, you could say it. This is internet radio.
I know, but it really is vulgar.
Oh, okay.
It's offensive. It's offensive. It's not like saying, you know.
It's not like saying fuck.
Or shit.
It's worse.
Son of a bitch. Any
of
that.
Yeah, okay.
No, no. It's aiming at the ladies' parts, and that's not a... it's aiming there. But that's what she said, and so then the chimichanga, so if you listen to that, you'll kind of figure it out, actually was introduced. And it's huge. And they made one the size of a newspaper. And it became the national or the state dish of Arizona, according to the USA Today. But their food was cool, and I got to go on the roof of the restaurant. And that was there was two things. A, I got to go on the roof of the restaurant that I thought was cool. They don't normally let people up there, but they dry meat, and that's part of their food. It's called, I forget what they call it, but... basically, they dry it, and it's fried, and it's in a screen so bugs don't get in your meat, and it's really, really delicious. It's like it's scraped, or you know, it's all feathered, or what do you call it when you get little pieces? Carne seca, I think, was what it was called.
Oh,
anyway,
okay. Yeah.
So it was really, really good meat, and I got to go on the roof and look at all the meat drying on the roof, and then I thought that was cool, especially since I got to do that after having their really good margaritas. Their margaritas,
oh.
Really good, especially the cucumber margaritas.
Was
interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, playing on the roof after margaritas was a highlight.
Yeah. Andrew, if you're listening, you know I know your ears perked up, you know, to hearing margaritas. I know that. But anyway, to get back to this. I also went to the old Tucson studio.
Oh, I didn't get to go there.
That was really cool. It was it really warrants going there. The attraction, you know, the shootouts, all kinds of stuff, you know, famous Hollywood sets, and you know, and it's a family thing, you know, for especially you know things like especially for kids to do,
mm-hmm.
You know, like gunfights and all that, saloon show musicals, and you know. It's that's a good thing to take in, and
I wish we'd gotten there. Huh.
Yeah, well now you have a place to go to.
Well,
now
you know we have to go back. We love it. It's one of the best cities I think in this country so far, or the ones that I've ever been to. It's just I think it was really pretty and laid back. Didn't you find it laid back?
Yeah, but then again, most of the time when I leave New York City, it's laid back.
That's right. Get your foot back east.
Yeah.
No, really. No, it's chilled out. I mean, well, we're on the L.A. side of things, so it's kind of crazy there, too. But, yeah, Tucson is just the people there. They care about the environment. I think it's a real eco kind of
eco-friendly,
place.
Huh?
Yeah. Did you hear about Native Seeds?
No.
That's a cool place. They restore and save heirloom seeds that were used by the native peoples in southern Arizona and in Mexico that were traditionally used for food crops.
Yeah.
And they're really cool. They have good hot chocolate.
Ah.
There's a lot of drinking and eating going on.
Yeah. I get that feeling. Well, you know, what I was surprised at was that I was there in October. And I, for some reason or other, I thought it'd be under 90 degrees, but it wasn't. I thought, oh, October, it's nice and cool. Uh-oh, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, that's it. Nope, not at all. I mean, it wasn't horrible,
yeah.
But, you know.
We were there in November when you get the desert gets that nice, cool. We were at the very end of November, right before
that
Thanksgiving.
Must have, yeah.
No,
that
sorry, December. Great. It was near Christmas, and the deserts get that nice chill in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And like where we were staying, they did all kinds of. It just looked like a real southwestern Christmas because it's all adobe style, you know, real southwestern. And that was kind of a treat. I could have just stayed there for Christmas. Yeah. Make good enough food, and, you know,
yeah.
Of course,
there are a lot of places to shop, too. A lot of malls and stuff, too. But, you know, when you get bored, you know, you're bored, you shop.
You know what? We did damage at the botanical gardens.
Oh.
All we meant to do was I saw, like, some seeds for our garden that we, you know, hadn't tried yet.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, we bought a library and a whole garden. It was pretty bad. We didn't do much shopping. Did you get a chance to do that?
Well, I didn't. I just kind of went around just to see, because I wanted to see where the shopping was or the malls were. You know, it was like, it was okay. It was nothing, you know. But I'm not a shopper. You know, I'm not a mallie.
Uh-uh.
But there was one place that I was a bit surprised that I got some interesting information. Did you see the Stone Avenue Temple? Did you get to go there? Well, this was.
Oh, wait, yes. The cathedral?
Yeah. No, it was a Jewish temple.
No.
This was also in downtown. And what they say is it's possible that Wyatt Earp visited the temple. It's the first Jewish temple in the American Southwest, by the way.
Huh.
And they say Josephine Sarah Marcus Earp,
uh-huh,
born to German immigrants. She was an actress who loved adventure, saloons, and gambling. She was introduced to young Wyatt Earp, who was working in Tombstone. And it was said that they were secretly married in the temple. But here's the interesting thing that I found out about how Tucson, in terms of the city itself, on
mm-hmm
how it grew and got to be the city.
Mm-hmm.
There was Jewish immigrants, and I think they were said from mostly Germany, that came there. And what happened is, it basically, because these people knew how to read, write, and that kind of a thing, and so they were the people that were able to open up businesses. And the whole thing at first, I guess, became somewhat of a Jewish community of people, you know. But then this is where all the, in terms of the business, how the city actually developed in Tucson. Who knew? You'd think it was the Native Indians who did it all. No.
Well, I know they were there first, but
I don't
get in trouble.
The Native Indians then begat the Jewish immigrants,
yeah,
you know?
That's interesting. Yeah. Hey, did you get a chance to go to the museum, the State Museum?
No, I missed that.
Oh, man, we got to go in the vault, which apparently is very rare. They have, like, the biggest collection of pottery. Like, it dates back from, you know, way, 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 way back when. And this collection was incredible to see how pottery has gone and how even the Native Americans started making it, you know, because it started with the ancient peoples, you know.
Right.
And then it goes all the way up to how the Native Americans, you know, started seeing white people and selling them as tourist things, you know. And then also... the era before that, where they were using it as trade, and how, you know, the different symbols and things like that. But they have this collection where you see it normally, and we were talking to the archaeologist, and he took us into the vault. I swear to God, I have never seen so much pottery in my life. I felt like, you know, it was a trip. We were really honored to go in there.
Now, you're making sure that we're saying pottery and not pot.
You know.
Right, okay. Just want to make sure we're doing pottery.
I didn't find any pot in Tucson. I had no smell, no smell. No, I didn't see any or hear. No. I did want to ask you if you saw the El Turidito Shrine. Did you see that in the downtown district?
Wait a second. Again, it's jogging my memory. Say it again. It was a shrine.
Oh, Turidito Shrine. Oh, I could be saying it wrong, you know, because, you know.
No, you're probably right. You know, it's really funny.
Called,
I'm looking at the article that I wrote, and I'm going, oh, yeah, why is that not in the article? Did I miss
it? No, it's a trippy place. It's really cool. I want to go there at night, and it's called the Castaway, and it's in the Barrio District. So you were near there. You were only a couple streets away from where you were, where the Congress Hotel was, if I'm remembering things correctly. But we did have a margarita in between times. Sorry, found another good place. But well, that's the one thing I have to say about Tucson. Margaritaville. It is the Margaritaville of the Southwest. I've never had so many margaritas in my life, and I'm not complaining about it.
Uh-huh.
But the shrine, you know, people go over there. It's supposed to have, like, magical powers and stuff. It was in the 1800s. There was a love triangle between a Hispanic woman who left her husband to be with the man she really loved. And then the husband murdered the lover.
Right.
And then the Catholic Church wouldn't allow the man to be buried in the cemetery because he was a sinner. So that's where the Castaway thing came about. And so they have this shrine, and they say that during the monsoon rainstorms in the summer, you can hear her cry at the shrine. But people put all their candles and things, you know, and pray and do all kinds of stuff there. But it was just a neat place to go. When we went there, that was one of the places I had to go. I don't know why, but I liked it. I just wish I went at night, because I thought, you know, and I want to go, I want to hear her.
You want to hear her bawl her eyes out, don't you?
No, nice. But I do want to go back. So
I'll eventually make my way back there again. You know, it's like, you know, a few years pass and I go, I haven't seen it in a few years. It's got to be changed a bit.
You know, we've been going, we actually started heading out to southern Arizona. We bypassed Tucson, which is kind of not a cool thing to do because Tucson just ended up being so cool. But southern Arizona, we were doing south, like towards Tubac in that area. We were looking.
I made my way. I didn't have enough time because I think I popped into Tubac, but that was about all. And then at some point I went to Tombstone too.
Oh, Tombstone's pretty cool.
That was really neat.
Yeah, we went on the ghost tour on Halloween a few years back.
Oh, you did? Oh, that must have been.
We saw ghosts. I actually have photos of, like, orbs or flashing lights or whatever you want to call them. I have weird photos is all I have to say.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we did drink at Big Nose Kate's Saloon.
Oh, okay.
And that was Bloody Mary's that day.
Did you put the Bloody Mary into the margarita? And
no, we didn't do that. No, I don't mix drinks. But, yeah, Tombstone, it's really become so popular now.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. I think it's just it never used to be like that. If you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd go there and you'd barely see people. But now it's got a lot of visitors.
Yeah, it's become a little more city-like.
Just more touristy, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a cool place to go, but a little touristy now. And, you know, just I like to see smaller communities watch their balance of tourism.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that when you go there, there's actually a bathroom that you can go to and you can actually sit down at the restaurant. But I think the last time we went to Tombstone, it was just, I think we went on one of those days that, you know, was just absolutely packed with people. So I'm used to being in the off-season, I suppose.
Well, off-season's really the best time to travel anywhere.
Yeah, we do a lot midweek and off-season, you know. And small communities really need that, too. They need that boost, you know.
Yeah.
So
in terms of your radio show, so
uh-huh.
You focused on the Southwest, which is what states?
Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Utah. And we're going to be expanding into Mexico as well. So we do that every Sunday, Champagne Sundays.
Oh, okay. And you're actually drinking champagne or margaritas?
That's right. Champagne on that show because it runs from 11 till 1 Pacific Standard Time. So we normally don't have cocktail hour till after 4 or 5 o'clock, depending on what's happening with computers. But but Champagne Sundays, we drink champagne and we talk to people and do a lot of giggling. We giggle a lot. I don't know why. But
you giggle versus Google, right?
Yeah, that's right. But, hey, the lady, Nancy, from the Tucson Botanical Gardens is going to be on our show on Sunday.
Oh, that's great. Dude,
we're playing Tucson, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. And,
yeah.
And are you doing that this Sunday?
Yeah, that's this Sunday.
Okay, and that's great. And and by the way, in case anybody's interested, if you want to get, I mean, we could probably talk for days about the area, but if you want to get more information, you go to www.TucsonAttractions.com, and you could probably get a lot of information. You have to, of course, bring a camera. I mean,
when you go traveling.
I mean, well.
Or when you're looking at the website.
No, when you're traveling, you have to bring your camera if you're going to go to this area because, you know.
Oh God.
Yeah, it really.
Just because we're based out this way. To let you know that this year, to get out to the deserts, like starting end of February, March is huge. This is going to be a wildflower season. It's going to be one of those unique ones where you're going to see stuff more than just, you know, a few verbena on the side of the road. Wildflowers are already out in the deserts right now. It's already started from all the rains we've had. So if you do southern Arizona, you're going to get them in March. End of February,
right.
March, and then the rest of the high desert, you'll get it in May and June as well.
Okay.
So there's
that's
my flower
cool.
report. But you're coming on our show, too.
Yes.
On February 17th.
On the 17th, that's right. And I'll be talking about about women's football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to educate us on that. And we've got your article that's going up on our website.
Okay. Yeah.
So that'll be cool.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm going to end this. I have actually three more interviews coming on.
Right on. Well, listen, have a great evening.
Okay.
And I'm going to go have a margarita.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Merle. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to break for a commercial.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialist, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Okay, so we're waiting for Stephen to call in, but in the meantime, I just wanted to wish whoever needed to be wished a Happy New Year. Today is Chinese New Year's. Now, let's see, it says, in Cantonese, Happy New Year's would be Sun Ning Fai Lak. And that means Happy New Year's. And then also in Cantonese, wishing you prosperity is Gung Hai Fa Choi. And what I really want, what I wanted to also say, for anybody who comes to New York City, by the way, I know everybody thinks that Chinatown is the place to go for Chinese food and you go into Manhattan. And it's not so. Things have changed. And it's really downtown Flushing, Queens is really the spot. Very, very easy to get to. It's from if you're in Manhattan, or railroad you need to take, or the subway, et cetera, et cetera. And the area has just about every possible Oriental cuisine that you'll ever want. But it's the year, 4705, I believe. This is the information I'm getting. 4705 is the year of the rat, which is a good thing. And, by the way, I noticed that, it's the Hebrew year right now, 5768, which means that for 1,163 years, we had to go without the Jews. That is, I'm sorry. We had to go without Chinese food and had to do our own laundry. So, yes, I told you I'd be joking about things. And I have Chinese food waiting for me after the show. But right now, I have somebody who's going to talk with us. It's shoe time, isn't it, Steve?
How you doing, Merle?
How are you? So, did you have your Chinese food today yet?
No, I actually got cooked veal and chicken and fettuccine Alfredo today.
Oh, that's in Chinese style.
No, we had Italian tonight.
So, yeah, we want to talk about shoe business. So, what we want to know is, tell us about what do you need to do when you buy a shoe?
Right.
What are you looking for?
The most important thing you want is a shoe with decent structure. You don't want anything too soft or too hard. You want some support, but yet you want a little cushioning. You don't want anything that's too cushiony because you're going to bottom out and you'll pronate more. And you want a good fit. So length is not the only thing to be concerned about. You should be concerned about width, because that's where most of your balance comes from, is when you step down your foot splays and you stand across all five metatarsal heads and you don't break the arch down.
Okay. And so now we had talked about the fact that, for instance, people who like, it's too tight, and they decide they need a larger shoe versus a wide. Yeah.
Right, that's because of the width. You want more width. But right. In the meantime, if you go width, sometimes it seems like it's too big. So what you should do is try a half size shorter on in the next width, not the same length.
Right.
Because when you get more width, you're actually technically going to have more length too.
So at your shoe store, by the way, I understand people actually come from other parts of the country and the world even.
Actually, the world, we have a few people from Japan, Israel, we have quite a few. We have some from Ireland, from Spain. What they do is they fly into Kennedy, they stop and see us, they take care of their business, they pick up the stuff that we have to work on, and then they go home, and they're happy.
Yeah. So in other words, what they're doing, at some point, they come in and they'll buy maybe like a half a dozen pairs of shoes?
Right. This way it lasts them for the year, because they can't even get them repaired over there.
Right. And then when they're bringing them to you, it's not like they're broken. They just, you know, need to be.
Yeah, they may need heels, tips, soles, you know,
yeah,
things like
that. Yeah, stuff like that.
There.
Yeah, because there really aren't any, you know, I mean, years ago, it was very typical. You went to a shoemaker. You know, it was bring your shoes to the shoemaker. And they're like, no, there's no more of that.
Well, there's two reasons for that. One is the way shoes are made today. There's a lot of them done by machines and done with plastic products, so you can't even repair them. And secondly is that there's a lack of skilled labor in this country. It's not only in my business, but a lot of businesses.
Right.
And that's what's hurting the shoe business. There's good quality shoes and skilled labor.
Now,
so if you're,
but at your place, I mean, you don't sell name brands, so to speak.
No. No, the reason for that is because we want good quality.
Okay.
And shoes that come in widths.
Right. Which brings me to this thing about the MBTs. Very interesting.
I looked at the two problems with MBTs.
Yeah.
One is there's no width to them, so you really can't get an accurate fit. And secondly, if you pronate or have an arch breakdown, you'll actually pronate more because the heel wedge is too soft. So it's just going to let the foot go. It doesn't offer the support or the stability.
Yeah, what is supposed to be the attraction of these MBTs then?
Well,
what's
just
the whole
heel cushioning, basically. It gives you a little more spring in your step.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if you have a foot problem, they're not for you.
So aren't they kind of like, you know, what they say, like earth shoes kind of thing? You're supposed to step heel-toe? Is that the
but you're only supposed to put 75 to 80% of weight on your heel. Those type of shoes bring you down to almost 100%, which is not good for the spine either.
Right.
You should have a proper balance.
So are there people that can wear those and then people that can't?
Yeah, it's just like the earth shoes. There were people that that were able to wear them, and there's people that can't. It depends on the person's foot, their bone
right.
structure, their muscle tone. You know, there's a lot of factors. You
okay.
know, the only thing you can do is try it. If it bothers the heel cord or the calf muscle or the back, get them off.
And how about, you know, like a lot of, like women will buy shoes and they have these like big heels, spiked heels, heels, you know. What's your reaction to with all the heels like that?
We call them the sitting shoes because that's all they're good for. They're not good for walking because that puts about 80% of the weight on the ball of the foot. The ball
uh-huh.
of the foot is not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be your springboard to your big toe.
And yet it's very popular. And yet it's it's a very popular item that for women.
Yeah, because you know women think it's very sexy. It looks great on them, but it's not conducive
right.
for good posture or good walking.
And then I also notice like these shoes that have these extremely pointy toes.
in a trade, we call those the roach killers.
The roach.
Because you get in the corners and kill the roach.
That's right.
Again, what they do is they squeeze the ball of the foot, they squeeze the toes. It's not good health.
But now, what I want to kind of get into is like, all right, so somebody comes in. I'm sure you probably have enough people to come in and say, I don't even know where to begin. Can you make a shoe for me? You know, so it'll fit perfectly. So, it'll, you know, I'm having problems with my feet. You know, do you do like from scratch? Can you make a shoe from scratch?
Yeah, we'll do custom shoes, but you know, you really have to really have a severe foot problem because they are expensive. They're all handmade. They will fit you to a T.
And how does it? Like, how do you do it? What's the process?
We have to take a cast of your foot on a plaster of Paris.
Right.
And we take a foot impression. Then we take the measurements across the ball of the foot, around the heel to the instep area. If you want a high shoe, we have to measure up and then around the leg area. You know, there's a lot of measuring involved.
Right.
And if you have an elevation, we have to determine the height of the elevation. We have to measure for that. There's a lot of factors. If you have bunions and hammer toes, you know, you want to try to make it look decent, you know, but under those conditions, they're not going to look like the greatest looking shoes, but they will be comfortable.
Right.
So that's why we recommend if you have to, that's the only time you get custom shoes. And then we do custom, not molded, because a molded shoe just accommodates any breakdown. It doesn't alleviate anything. Where a custom shoe is made exactly to your foot, and it will offer support.
Mm-hmm. And just as an idea to people, like, what kind of cost is involved in doing that type of a shoe?
All right, a custom made shoe can go anywhere from $950 to $2,000.
Right.
A molded shoe will be from $650 to about $900.
But these shoes are going to last.
Yeah, again, you have to take care of them, though. You have to
polish
them with good cream, keep them in good repair, and that's the only time any shoe will last.
Yeah, and so and now the other thing I wanted to also ask about is, does it make a difference, and how much does it make a difference of whether the shoe is the man-made, you know, material or leather?
Well, there's a big difference. Man-made materials do not give with your foot.
Okay.
They have a memory. They have a memory. So when you go to bend, the shoe doesn't give.
Uh-huh.
A leather shoe will actually conform to your foot. Even the stiffest leather will eventually conform to your foot.
Right.
You won't get that with the vinyls and what they call these pleather shoes.
Plugger?
Pleather.
Yeah, what is that?
What they call pleather, it's plastic leather.
Oh,
they give
okay.
it a fancy name, and people are fooled to think it's leather. But it's actually not. It's synthetic.
Uh-huh.
The original synthetic was back in the 60s, and that was Corfam.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out, you know, after a while that it didn't give and it didn't breathe. That's the other problem, because it's a closed cell. They're not open cells. They're not porous like leather. Leather is animal skin.
Right.
So breathe.
Uh-huh.
They're a plastic cell.
So, and Does shoes, like, because of the material, does any shoe make you sweat more or less, or is just the way people wear their, you know, whether they sweat from their feet or not? Does it, you know what I'm saying?
If it's a leather shoe, it does help, but if you do perspire quite a bit, you know, you may need a little spray like Tenactin or Lotrimin spray, because those do help. They will keep the foot cool and dry. But also, use cotton socks if you have that problem. Don't use synthetics.
Okay, cotton socks. Now, completely different from, like, if you had wool socks, right?
Well, wool's a little too heavy for most shoes. You can probably get away with sneakers. You want something that's natural. You don't want anything man-made.
Right, okay. So, are cotton socks the best anyway? I mean, like...
Two reasons why they're best. They'll absorb the perspiration.
Right.
And they will actually keep the foot cooler.
Oh, okay.
For that reason, because you're not standing in a hot, soaking wet shoe.
Right. Just as long as they're not white, right?
No, I wear white cotton all the time. That's another thing, too, is sometimes some people can be allergic to the dyes in socks.
Oh, right. And
that's why I wear white all the time.
I understand you also specialize in shoes, like, for people who are diabetics?
Yes. They need a what they call an extra-depth shoe. That's a shoe where the toe box and the vamp is much deeper than regular shoes, and then we have to put these special diabetic inlays. They're a dual-density inlay. They have a firm bottom with a softer top, and what it does is from the heat of the foot, it will actually mold to the bottom of your feet. So it will aid in prevention of blisters and calluses and corns. And that's what a diabetic cannot afford to have.
Right. Oh, okay. I was trying because I had noticed that. And also in regards to, like, brands. I mean, like, you have New Balance. So that's really a brand that people have heard of.
Well, only because New Balance has done the publicity right. They don't advertise with TV stars or baseball stars or, you know, sports stars.
Right.
They put the money into research and development, and they give you the most widths and the most size of any sneaker company out there. Example, a women's shoe sneaker go from double A to 4Es. A man's width will be from B to 6Es wide. So if you can't get fitted with one of their products, you've got serious problems.
Oh, okay. Now, I also wanted to share with folks, I happen to wear sandals all year round, and I wear these sandals. I had found these pair of sandals, and some company put these out. I can't even begin to tell you, like, how perfectly comfortable, and because they were really comfortable and had total support, I would wear them all year round in wintertime and just get a pair of wool socks. The problem was that the company went out of business. And so with the company going out of business, there was, like, no place to find them. And then I had found a company who took them over. And they went out of business because they never sold it to shoe stores. And then
they didn't sell it to the right type of shoe stores.
Well, they didn't sell it to any. They were doing this on. They were trying to sell it, and never connected. So you would have to go online or whatever to get them. Well, they went out of business, and so I was left. I finally, like, I bought as many as I could, and now I was like, "What am I going to do?" And thank goodness you were around, because what I did is I went to the shoemaker, and the interesting thing with the sandals. Is that the basic part of it doesn't break down. It's the bottom.
That's natural wear.
Yeah.
I just had to get the
bottoms taken care of.
Yeah, but, you know, we just leveled it off a little bit, too. We didn't put just a straight bottom on.
Right, yeah. But I know that Andrew is listening right now. Andrew, I bought a pair of shoes. Yes, I bought a pair of shoes, the New Balance shoes. They are in black, so they'll match things. So So, you know, and say, I know, you're fainting. Grab a margarita quick.
Quick, get him a chair before he passes out.
Yeah, so that was one of the things. So I want to let people know, especially if anybody's happens to be going into New York and you're really looking, you know, for the right pair of shoes, you know, that'll last and whatever, you're located at 90-03 Jamaica Avenue in Woodhaven. Just Google, I guess. But you have
we have a website.
Right?
It's orthoshoe.com.
Orthoshoe.com.
One word. And there's the whole layout of what we do, different lasts for different people, explains a lot on that website. I actually took the time of getting charts together of different lasts and what they do. And it's very interesting reading for most people if you want to learn about foot problems.
Yep. And we'll see. I'm sure these shoes will last. Oh, I don't want to use the word broken them in. I've walked around.
we do use that term to break.
Yeah, here's the thing that was interesting, and probably because of wearing the sandals, when I was having the problem, I guess again with the MBT probably would have fit if it wasn't if they had any width in it.
We took care of that problem for you.
Well, you were able to stretch it, and you said, you know, you were right. It went right back.
Yeah.
They do
have a memory, a certain amount of memory.
Yeah.
You have to remember that it may be a leather upper, but the inside is what they call drill, and that's a heavy material.
It was, but it was actually the tongue, the top of the tongue that was annoying. There was
a seam.
Yeah.
There might be a seam at that. I may have to cut the tongue out, skive it down, and put it back in.
Oh, maybe we can cut out my tongue, huh? Cut out my tongue. Oh, okay. And make tongue sandwich out of it.
Oh, that's delicious.
isn't it delicious? Oh, God. I'm going to have Chinese food tonight. No, actually, I bought dumplings because they said that's the traditional thing to have is to have dumplings for Chinese New Year's. And an hour later, I'll probably want them again. But
I got to look up what years were the year of the rat. I don't know.
I keep forgetting. I don't know what animal I am. I'm an animal. But
no comment.
But you also have a position in Woodhaven too, right? You're the.
Yeah. I'm with the Greater Woodhaven Development Corporation. We do is we. Keep the area clean and safe. We do after-school programs, and also with the Woodhaven Business Improvement District. There, what we do there is we have private sanitation, private security, graffiti removal, and if there's any problems, people come to us and we try to straighten it out. It's all done through business associations. All businessmen, whether they own the building or rent, they pay a separate real estate assessment. And they voluntarily did this to keep the area safe and viable for people.
Now, isn't this something, this is not just Woodhaven. Is this just something that's conducive to New York City? Or is this something that's
I believe New York City is the only one that has business improvement district.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Mayor Bloomberg is encouraging more areas to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does help the city stay safer and cleaner.
Yeah.
Because if you look at different areas, you'll see there's graffiti all over the place, but yet when you come to Woodhaven or any business improvement district in Manhattan or Brooklyn, you'll see that there's freshly painted buildings wherever the graffiti was. If it's spotted, it's removed immediately.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It is a good idea. I've seen the improvement in Woodhaven. It also helps, like, when it snows, the store owners aren't like, don't have to run out of there and do that and worry about or cleaning up as much to worry about, you know, like, oh, I have to, you know, I can't take care of the store. I have to go out and clean, you know, and then there's nobody in the store, you know, that kind of a thing. So at least
if you're one-man operation, it's tough in the winter, you know. So fortunately, you know, we help them along too with the snow. But what they'll do is clean the crosswalks.
Uh-huh.
Make sure all the crosswalks are clean and safe. Then we just go out and we shovel the rest of the front of the area.
Yeah, we've had such a horrible winter, huh?
Oh, yes. My back is killing me from all that shoveling.
I mean, I'm trying out a shovel. It's called a hovel, H-O-V-E-L.
I've heard of it. It's supposed to be good for the back and the legs.
Yeah, and it probably is, but I haven't had to use it yet, and I have apologized to the company. I mean.
I bought a new snowblower last year. I think I used it 3 times, thank God. That's all I had to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy that I don't have to use it, but somebody told me, and I don't remember what the date was, like in Central Park, and they do this I don't know how, every year, I don't know for how long, they create snow.
Yeah.
Just so you can, I guess, I don't think they do snowmobiling as far as that, but they do things like for snowshoeing.
Well, ski resorts do it also.
Yeah, but at least in ski resorts, there is some snow.
No,
I mean,
not all the time. There were a couple of years where there wasn't any. They had to make it.
Really?
Yeah.
But they
didn't even have snow.
Yeah?
So they brought in these big snow machines.
Oh.
And they powder the mountains.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have an invitation to go up to Stowe. At the end of March, but they said, oh, there'll be snow there. I went, oh, all right.
Yeah, because we man-made.
Yeah, they said bring the hovel with you.
I got to run right now. it was good for the interview and good talking to you. I hope the listeners learned a few things.
Yeah.
And if you ever want me to do it again, I'll be glad to
do it. Oh, sure, sure. Again, it's orthoshoe.com. Okay, thanks a whole bunch, Stephen. And,
all right, thanks, Merle.
I'll pop by.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye bye. Yeah, so there's no business like shoe business here. And I'm going to take a breath while I pass a commercial on.
As a dad, you'll probably spend years teaching your son how to hit a baseball, how to throw a tight spiral and hit a receiver. How to spring off a diving board and hit the water. How to hit a one wood and a nine iron. How to hit the bullseye. How to hit the strike zone. Hit a jump shot. Hit the open man. Hit the hockey net. And maybe the most challenging of all, how to hit the books. But the question is this: how much time will you spend teaching him what not to hit? Teach your son early and often that all violence against women is wrong. For tips on what to say, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, while I'm waiting for our next interview. We got two more to go. Don't blame me. People have emailed jokes to me, okay? And this was I want to call them, I suppose, groan jokes. So if you feel like getting the groans off your chest and whatever, you know, it feels good for the stomach, by all means do so, okay? What's white, oval, and crawls up your leg? Uncle Ben's perverted rice. Okay. What's brown and lies on top of the piano? Beethoven's last movement. Oh, God. All right. Did you hear about the Indian who drank 80 gallons of Lipton? He died, drowned in his teepee. All right. How do you catch a polar bear? You saw a hole in the ice and put a can of peas next to it. So when the polar bear goes to take a pee, you kick him in the ice hole. All right, there's just one more left here on this thing. Okay. Do you remember the craze when the college kids were running around the campus naked? All right, there was one guy who had the word desire written right across his chest. He was the streetcar named Desire. Okie dokie. Okay. I'm sorry about that, but I'm still not ready to do the Wizard of Oz yet. I mean, last week I did, you know, I did a little Jerry Lewis. I got to do a little Hello Lady, and you know, did the whole. I got that. I did that. That was so good. I liked it actually.
My cat is what? You're doing what? No, don't hand me any jokes. I'm not telling that one. I'll tell next week. I'll tell her next week. My cat doesn't want to talk on the radio, so my cat like passes things to me, signals me, you know, like he thinks it's so cute because you know it can't talk. So, but that joke. Maybe I'll tell it later. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not funny. You just have to get it. But we'll tell that later on. All right. But anyway, what we're going to be talking about next? Let's see. Who's calling in next? My next caller. Oh, actually, we're going to be talking about. Oh, yes, this the headphones, the noise reduction headphones. I would like to deal with that right now. I'm sitting like the in front of my house, and I have little cars, you know, going by and stuff like that. And that would be a great time to use it. They work pretty well. But what we're going to be yakking about is like, well, you know, what kind of what uses, you know, you would have for noise reduction. Probably one thing is like the thing that throws me. I'll be in the subway or bus, and somebody's listening to music, and they have, you know, the headsets on, and I can hear the music, and it makes me wonder. I mean, if I can hear it. Yeah, it's got to be loud in their ears, you know? And even worse is the people with the cell phone thing. You know, people that you hear them like talking really loud, you know? And I think it's so funny. I walked up to somebody and I commented. I couldn't help it. I commented about what they were saying, you know, and then the guy looks at me and says, "Excuse me, this is a personal call. It's none of your business." And the whole damn bus has heard you. What are you talking about? They all want to comment as well, but they're just shutting up. What's great about this with the cell phones is that and especially now with the Bluetooth that grows out of your ears, you know, that, you know, the, yes, I've been born with this Bluetooth coming out of my ear, and you walk around with that. Now, that, I'm sorry, but that really looks like you're talking to yourself. Yeah, I know, Andrew, you got one too. But it does. It looks like that you can't tell. I mean, you can't tell whether someone is talking to you or having a conversation with somebody. And then, you know, and then they stop. They're waiting for you to answer, and then you think they're still having the conversation, or you think they're, you know, like you're trying to figure out why they're asking you a question about something so ridiculous, but it's their conversation. It's amazing. You can't even have to stick it in your pocket. I have no idea where the phone is. I mean, I don't have one. I don't have a Bluetooth. I have a gold tooth. I don't know. I have some of it. Although some teeth have been slightly pulled lately. It's what happens when you're getting old, I guess, you know. You are not listed. I got a message from you are not listed on Blog Talk as a show in progress. Really? Isn't that that's interesting? But I'm not. But the question is, well, really? But Andrew, are you able to hear me, though, right now?
Yes.
Oh. You hear me? But I'm not listed?
Yes, you are. Now, I had to Google you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'll have to slap somebody's wrist.
Well,
in that case.
Not very computer.
All right. I'll let you get back to what you were doing. I was just like, I just saw that in my email, and I just wanted to make sure. So
I found you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Talk to you later.
Yeah, the shoes sound nice, by the way.
Yeah. I knew you would get a kick out of that. Yeah, real shoes. Real shoes.
Someone's got to send them better jokes. We'll work on that.
Now I just have to get a better clothing to match instead of my constant dungarees. But I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for my next guest. But anything you want to throw in while we're waiting? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about my JPD program.
Dad, tell us.
Well, it's coming up. It's the second annual NFL.
You want to tell everybody who you are?
You mean nobody knows?
Well, we're having a conversation. I just say Andra, and we don't know who you are.
Like anyone knows or cares. My name is Andra Douglas. I'm the owner of the New York Sharks women's tackle football team.
Okay, now get back to it. With the JPD.
We are very proud to talk about this event coming up on February 23rd and 24th. It's going to be held at Giants Stadium. Go Giants. It's all day, Saturday and Sunday, and it's a program just for girls ages 13 to 17. And it's a football clinic that just shows them the basics. It's not contact, so you don't have to worry about that, but it talks about the basics of football. We have a little flag. We throw in a little flag at the end of both games, both days. I'm sorry. We offer free transportation. The entire clinic is free, and you get lots of good stuff at the end, like big NFL bags, and you get jerseys and footballs, and of course, everything at our clinic is branded with the Giants stuff. So, yay, Giants! So, if you need to find out how to sign up. Your friend, your daughter, whomever, ages 13 to 17, you can go to nysharksfootball.com, download the forms, and send them in, and then come have some fun with us.
Okay. And I want just everybody to be clear. It's not that it's, like, just open to people who are in the New York metropolitan area. If you can get there, you can football anywhere. If you can get there, you can, you know, be in the clinic. You can come from any parts of the country, you know, if it interests you to do it.
That's true. Yeah. We had players come in from Maine last year.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Andra. Now you can continue listening to my bullshit. No, I won't. No, actually, I don't want to say that because I have a couple of more interviews to go. I got somebody on the line now. Let's see which I forgot which of my interviews coming up here.
You have Kiva Alder with Able Planet.
Oh, okay. Now we're going to talk about the headphones. I'll talk to you later, Andra.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
I would love to be using them right now, except for that if I was using them, I wouldn't be able to hear you, right?
You probably wouldn't. The
no.
noise-canceling feature cancels out all ambient noise. So, but we do have 11 new products coming out this year, which actually one would be perfect for you in studio, which we'll make sure you get a sample of it as soon as they're out.
Oh, okay. Right, great. So, tell... What is this whole thing with noise canceling, you know, explain?
Well, Able Planet, we were founded as a hearing aid company, and we developed a technology called Lynx Audio. And Lynx Audio is a patented technology that provides superior sound quality and clarity. One of the features, one of the product lines, I should say, that we have is a noise-canceling product line. We also have stereo headphones. We have hearing aids, active listening devices. But the power behind the Lynx Audio is that it actually enables people with hearing loss to hear things they weren't able to hear before. But for the consumer, say the audiophile or the gamer or the mom, it gives them some superior sound quality and clarity. So at a lower volume, because a great analogy is with Lynx Audio, you're really listening to a C chord versus just a C, which means you're getting an amplified fuller sound, which on average means you can listen to it between 7 and 10 dBs lower, which over time means you're actually helping your hearing.
Okay. Now, all right. So with this, what would you use the noise cancel? What kind of situations would you use it?
Well, the noise canceling is fantastic for a lot of different situations. It's great for the business traveler, and that's where kind of noise canceling headphones emerged. So you're sitting next to the kid crying on the airplane, plane, or the noisy engine. It creates a white noise that basically doesn't completely eliminate, but reduces the ambient noise. It's also fantastic for a noisy dorm room, bus ride, train ride, so the commuter that's going home and wants to kind of, you know, really relax on the ride back. So any environment where you'd like the ambient noise to be a little lower and, you know, you'd like to be able to experience sound to the fullest, noise cancellation works there. It's also fantastic for an environment for kids who have ADD, ADHD, they're autistic, where they need some help with focus. Great for adults who also need help with focus. So you're in your office and you don't have a door and you'd like to really be able to focus on what you're doing. The noise cancellation feature allows you to really kind of sound out, shut down all that ambient noise that's around you.
Oh, okay. I've been trying them out, and basically what I've been using for, like, I'll be writing an article. And I'll be sitting, and even though my computer room is not, there's nothing loud to deal with, basically I would still just put them on and I can concentrate more because I'm focused. I just, it's like, being like no noise, you know.
Exactly. It's a great just almost, you know, for in a work environment, I kind of, an analogy I use is it's my, you know, my zen. In a way, because it allows me to kind of shut everything else out and really focus on whether I'm writing a brief or what a marketing program, I can kind of shut down all the noise, like you mentioned, and really, really stay focused on what I'm working on.
Yeah, and what I wanted to ask you is, like, comparing, like, did Bose put these out before you did?
Actually, noise cancellation was developed some time ago, so the line's been out there for a long time. Bose did a fantastic job in developing the category overall, mm-hmm. as did Sennheiser. But, you know, we've been published probably in the top and leading magazines over the holiday season, so the Washington Post, all the different buying guides. They compared our product against the top lines of Sennheiser's or the Bose. And in each of those reviews, you know, our sound quality, the clarity, the speech intelligibility element of it with the Lynx Audio always came out on top. So, you know, we're kind of like the American dream. We're a small company, very, very focused on making sure we deliver on hearing preservation and that
right.
we give a pure and true sound. So the products always have the best speaker quality and overall sound quality that they can.
Now, I kind of get that both yours and Bose are priced about the same. What is you know, do you have something that they don't have, or, you know, something like that? Well, whatever.
Yeah, we definitely do. We have Lynx Audio, and Lynx
okay.
is a patented technology. Nobody else has it in their headphones today. And that patented piece is pretty critical. So typically what we do is we say, you know, you can hear the difference. So we have interactive kiosks at a lot of the major big box retailers, which allows you to pick up our headphone and compare it to others. And, you know, I've done thousands of reviews and thousands of side-by-side demos, and I have yet to have somebody look me in the face and say, you know, I can't hear the difference. The Lynx audio really enables you to hear sounds if you have any hearing loss at all that you can't hear normally. And then if you have normal hearing, it really allows you to get a more robust, fuller sound, so which typically allows you to turn it down, which is with over 10 million Americans with hearing loss due to excessive noise, and about half of those being children. You know, it's a big issue, and it's a growing issue for us as a society. So, you know, we're pretty committed to making sure that we continue the path down hearing enhancement and preservation.
Okay. Good. Now, before I go into your other products, I want to ask you now, with the, because I have them, and I've been trying them out, as I said, and with the I have to call it, is it a noise canceling, a white noise? Is that what they call it, white noise?
Typically they'll call it a white noise, and that is just the noise that's in the background that you hear to cancel out the ambient noise.
Right. Now, my question is, should I be hearing that in both ears?
You know, the cancellation itself is something that it should be for both ears, yes.
I should be hearing the white noise in both my left and right ear when I'm listening.
You really shouldn't be hearing a white noise. Some people can hear it, some people can't. It depends on.
Oh yeah, I do. I do hear.
Okay.
Like,
it depends. Yes. Some people can hear it. I say that, and people are like, "I hear nothing. I hear absolutely nothing."
Oh, okay. No, I hear the difference. Like if I don't put the switch on and do put
yep.
the switch on.
Well, that's one of the. Nicest features about our products is you actually can listen to music without the noise cancellation feature on, which means they'll also work if the batteries die. So if you're on a long international flight and forgot to bring an extra pair, or you're really in a groove and you'd still like to listen to music, you should be hearing, if you hear the white noise, you should be hearing it out of both of the ears. But the best test for that is to turn it on and, you know, kind of walk out of a room with a lot of noise, maybe with a fan or something, and you should really see a significant reduction when it's on versus when it's off.
Okay. So, in other words, I mean, the fact that I have a hearing loss in my right ear is probably why I'm not hearing it. I mean, I have a high-pitch hearing loss, and that's probably why I'm not hearing it then.
Have you been able to hear the difference with Lynx audio technology in there? So have you been able to hear some of those higher frequency sounds in your right ear that you weren't able to hear before?
I haven't attached it to anything. Is that what you mean? Or I haven't plugged them into something like to listen to music or anything.
Oh,
is
please
that what
do.
You mean?
That's exactly what I mean, because I think you're going to, you know, plug it in and listen to some of your favorite music that you haven't, you know, listened to in a while. And I'd love to see your response on, especially if you've got loss in your right ear. I bet you'll be amazed by how much more robust and what you're able to actually hear in that right ear. One of the best experiences I had was we were working with a local school for children with hearing loss. And there were a lot of kids that are, you know, they're learning to do phonetics, but they never really had heard the S sound or the sh sound. And a kid puts the headphones on and turns around, and he's got a tear coming down his face, and he's just saying, "I can actually hear the lyrics. I can hear the words."
Wow.
And it was the first time he was able to hear a full song because he had lost the majority of his high-frequency hearing. So I can't wait for you to experience it with music. And hopefully it's a great experience. Please send me a note after you do that.
I will. Yeah, I'm gonna do that and get back to you on that, because as I said, I haven't done that yet. I was just trying to see like how much of a difference it was like to hear no noise, kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'll have to I'll bring them like on the subway or something like that and try them out in that
That'd
kind
be great.
Of case also. You know, I'll do that too. But not while I'm in the car driving. So.
That would be bad. If you're driving, not so good. But we do have, like I mentioned, 11 new products. There's a product that's single-eared, which would allow you to actually use it as a telecom handset with your cell phone as well as for other in the car. But you got to have that one ear free when you're driving.
Okay. So you go to what, ableplanet.com? Is that the website?
Yeah, the best place to get a little more information about us and our products is www.ableplanet.com. And hopefully you'll find all the information that you need there.
Okay. Absolutely great. I appreciate you calling in and talking about this. And, again, I will follow up on this.
Listen to them. I want to hear how your experience goes.
Yeah, I will. All right.
All right.
Thanks a whole bunch for calling in.
You bet. Have a great
night.
Right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I guess that what that means is it looks to me like we're going to talk about this Suzuki SX4 Sport. Is that, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Hello.
Okay. I'm going to let you talk about basically the whole, like, the technical stuff about it.
Okay.
But while I just let people know, what I did is I tried out the car. I wanted to test it out. And I was looking for, like, the different kind of features, you know. It's like, oh, okay, here's the book, and what do I need to learn before I get in the car? Because, I mean, some of these cars, you know, really need to sit for hours, but this wasn't.
Well, here's the first thing. Do you enjoy driving? Do you like to have fun when you're driving?
Yes.
Suzuki is designing cars for people who just like to have a car that has enough pep, enough zest to, you know, have fun when you're driving, in safety, of course. So that's how the SX4 Sport was designed, for people who enjoy to drive and who just don't want to get from point A to point B in a, you know, boring car. So for that, you want technical stuff, I can give you numbers if you're interested.
First, I want to kind of explain. I mean, here's what I thought was great. Now I have to let people know. I mean, normally I have 1988 Oldsmobile Firenze. It moves, it goes, gets me where I need to go. But what was interesting to see was like how this thing like picks up.
Exactly, and you know what? Here's a perfect introduction for a small car that has 143 horsepower. So it looks small, but it's got a big, big attitude, and he can take you up on those on ramps and on the freeway, and you will be able to, you know, punch it and really feel the power of that small little car. And the other number that I wanted to give you, that's the torque. Torque is the power you have when you start from zero, complete stop, and that's where you feel the power of the car, how much pickup it has. And that's 136 pounds per feet of torque. And so that shows how much oomph that car has.
Okay, that I like that. I see it also. What it didn't have, and by the way, I would like not to knock. In case you do have Suzukis that have this, but not to knock it. You know, like I don't have to worry about whether my ass is hot or not. I mean, these cars are putting in to heat up your ass. I mean. What did we do before? I mean, did we all, like, have to get out of the car and, you know, go to a heater and sit on top of it before we had these things? I mean, it's just interesting the things that they want to do with the cars, you know. But,
yes, there's more and more gadgets and comfort features in the cars now that people expect, and the Suzuki is packed with those features like Bluetooth connectivity that you can ask for, and you know, good sound system with up to 9 speakers, including the subwoofer, stuff like that. That comes standard depending on what level trim car you have, and compared to the competition where you have to add packages, etc. So for the same amount of amenities, you have a much much better price.
So what I had, I drove, the one I have was a four-cylinder, right?
Okay.
Four-cylinder. And what does it mean by 2.0L?
2.0 liter, that is the size of the engine. So size of the engines vary a lot. Small cars can have down to 1.5, 1.6 liter, even 1.0 liter, maybe not in the U.S., but and that goes up to 4, 5, and more, depending on how big truck you end up having. But our car has a power plant built in Japan. It is a four-cylinder engine, like you said. It is a four-inline engine, like we call it. It has 16 valves, and In honesty, I am not quite sure either what all that technical stuff means, but that means it's a good little engine that that will take you, like I said, you know, up to where you need to go. And on that same line, I wanted to mention the fuel economy on this car. Because it is a small car, it's getting pretty good EPA fuel economy of... Did you drive the five-speed manual or the four-speed automatic?
The automatic.
Automatic.
I thought that's also an interesting feature that cars are doing, that you can kind of do either now.
Yes, absolutely. Some people don't want to deal with the manual because they are commuting every day and they know they're going to have stop-and-go traffic. They don't want to keep shifting all the time and, you know, sensing a jig where they'll drive in all the time with all the footwork. And so the convenience of the automatic is obvious for these reasons. Now, if you want more control over the drive-in and you feel you're more engaged with the car, a lot of people like that, then they tend to choose the five-speed manual. Just to give you the numbers, the five-speed manual gets a fuel economy of 22 miles in the city and 30 in the highway, and that's upped by one for the automatic. So you get a slightly better gas mileage with the automatic at 23 for the city and 31 for the highway. So did you go very far with yours?
Well, I went I drove about approximately, I think maybe about 100 miles.
Okay.
And I went, I didn't even use up a quarter of a tank.
Exactly.
I'm going, maybe I should drive to another country. I mean, was happy about that, but that was really cool. But I have to tell you, what was interesting was that I'm driving the car, and it's hard to tell how fast you're going. I mean,
because it's so smooth.
So mm-hmm. I'm driving along, and you know, and I see people on one side of me going a little slower, people on the other side of me zooming past me, and then it happens. I put in a Navigon. A GPS. I'm testing out the Navigon, and every time it goes, and I'm not sure how I plugged it in, but if it goes a certain amount of miles over the speed limit, you suddenly hear a voice go, "Warning!" And I'm going, the first time I heard it, I'm going, is somebody behind me? I'm looking in the rearview mirror.
You're expecting the red and blue lights from there.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were warning me about, and then I'm just, you know, I continue on, you know, warning, and I went, what, you know, and then finally it got to, because I didn't really look up this whole thing to see, you know, what this was. So I looked at the speed limit, and I said, oh, I'm going faster than the speed limit. Oh, I wonder if it's warning me about that. And it
probably
was.
It knows the speed limit of different streets.
Yeah, but what was interesting was to see that I had absolutely no sense that I was going fast. It was just so easy to drive. And the other thing, and now I see why, because, you know, with the anti-lock brakes, I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't want to have to slam on the brakes, but I felt like when I had to brake, I didn't feel like, you know, it's going to squeak. It's going to, like, oh, my God, it'll be forever before I actually stop.
Yes, we have the ABS, the anti-lock brake system, and it has electronic brake force distribution. What that means is, depending on how you drive, it will distribute the brake power to all wheels appropriately, and so you will avoid, you know, having one wheel kind of jam up and all the rest spinning. And mm-hmm. that helps give you more security. And the other thing about the anti-lock brake system is not only it helps pump the brakes like as if you were pumping, but much faster, so it's more efficient, but also you can still steer while braking. It does not block your steering, so it is safe. You can still avoid, you know, what's coming at you if while braking you're not just going in a straight line. That brings me to the safety and security features on the car. I don't know, hopefully you did not have to experience those, but we do have on the SX4 Sport and also on the SX4 Crossover, which is the hatchback cousin of the SX4 Sport, six standard airbags, the front dual airbags, and the driver and the passenger, obviously, and you also have this curtain airbags and the side airbags that come out of the seat. So there's a complete coverage for all the passengers, including the rear passengers, you know, the ones on the side with the curtain airbag. If there's a fifth passenger in the middle, there's no airbag for him or her, obviously. Nothing comes from the ceiling. But there's a curtain of airbags all around for the outboard occupants and the front passenger and driver.
Wow.
So that's that's something we like to put in our cars. So should something happen, you're safe.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I was also kind of surprised, considering how long ago that I bought a car and what I paid. I mean, this says that this particular SX4 with what this has, it's like the price starts at $14,770.
Can beat that, can you? For the amount of,
yes. For what's in there, I mean, it's wow.
Inclusive or almost. We only have three trim packages for this particular vehicle: the base, the convenience, and the touring packages. And even the base has tremendous amount of features, and all the safety features are standard. There's nothing that you have to add as an option, except for the electronic stability program with traction control and stability control. That comes on the touring only, but it comes standard on the touring. All the other stuff comes standard on all the trims. So and same with all the features and gadget and comfort features. Most of them are even on the base model. It's very well equipped.
And I also, I see it's a 7-year, 100,000 miles warranty.
Yes, we are very proud of our warranty. It is a 7-year powertrain warranty, or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
Right.
And what people don't realize is it is very consistent with most people's driving habit. Sometimes you hear, 10 years, 100,000 miles. That sounds better, but it's not, because most people drive more than 10,000 miles per year. And so really it matches what most people will drive. The other thing that's really cool about our warranty, it is fully transferable to subsequent owners. And so that really highlights the confidence that we have in our product, that there really is not going to, you're not going to have any problem. Your Suzuki is going to be your reliable, you know, day in and day out car. And you know, when you sell it, you know, if you want to upgrade to something else or another Suzuki, whoever buys it gets the warranty as well, you know, up to the same level. So, and also there is no deductible on it. So quite a good deal.
Yeah. So what should you go, Suzuki.com?
SuzukiAuto.com or SuzukiAuto.com, they'll both get you there.
Okay, that's really great. I'm looking at my thing. I have 2 minutes left. Okay, so, I'll be talking to you again, because I want to try out, you know, another Suzuki at another time. And I think this is great. You know, I really enjoy the car.
Yes. This is a really exciting time for Suzuki. Yeah. As I was mentioning, we have the SX4 crossover, which is the hatchback version of the SX4 Sport. What's cool about the crossover is it has all-wheel drive on all vehicles. It comes standard. So particularly for, you know, your people in the snow belt,
right,
or where it rains a lot, well, you have all-wheel drive. You don't have to worry about it. You just put it on all-wheel drive, and you don't have to worry about puddles and ice patch. It's will give you a lot more safety that way. The other vehicles in the Suzuki line that are noteworthy, one with all-wheel drive as well available, is the Suzuki XL7.
Okay, I have to, this is going to end very soon.
Okay.
So I'm going to call you, and we're going to talk another time about another car, and
it's my pleasure.
I'll try out. All right, thanks a whole bunch for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
No problem, thank you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Yep, I'm sorry, guys, I have to leave now. Next week, I think it'll be coffee talk. We're going to be talking about coffee, and so I'll see you guys next week, and tune in, and I haven't figured out where, probably Pennsylvania is where what I'll be talking about as far as travel. So, enjoy the rest of the evening, or day. Oh, yeah, and Barbara, I'll talk to you later also. Bye.
Blog Talk Radio.